And I'm going to invite you all to take a breath right now so we can get still, so we can get ourselves ready and open up for the experience to come. So just put everything aside for a moment. Take anything out of your lap. If you're able to put your feet flat on the floor, do so. And allow your shoulders to drop, and that will signal to let your breath slow down. Just let it slow down. And we begin a time of meditation by tuning out whatever is happening around us. I know it's not always easy, but the more we practice it, the better we are at doing it. What helps me most is knowing that I'm going on an inward journey. So right now, let us prepare to go on that inward journey. Sit up tall. Just notice your breathing. It's so important to notice our breathing. It's so simple. It's so available. It doesn't cost anything. Though it can cost us whatever stress we may be experiencing. We may have to let that go if we focus on our breath. So today we say, thank you, God, for friendship. Today, let us think of and give thanks for friendship, for the opportunity to share in life's experiences with like-minded people, for the chance to give and to receive on expanded levels, and for the learning and growth that friendship affords. We're all indebted to friends who have given help in time of need, who have listened in times of joy and sorrow, who have made a difference in the quality of our lives. A true friend is a true messenger of God, reminding us that friendship is God's love in expression. Another wonderful aspect of friendship is that we can always enjoy new friends. As we pray for fellowship, God shows us how to open the door to friendship with love and sincerity, and thus attract new friends to enrich our lives. We are richly, richly, richly blessed. Let us tell our friends how much we appreciate them. And let us give thanks to God for our ever-widening circle of friends. In 3 John 15, it says, the friends greet you. Greet the friends, every one of them.
You and I must make a pact. We must bring our salvation back. Where there is love,
I'll be togetherness is all I matter. Just say my name, I'll be there.
I'll be there to protect you.
Here at Unity of New York, and even though I'm coming to you from Austin, Texas, I know that friendship knows no bounds, no geography, and that we are connected in spirit this morning and at all times. I'm so proud to introduce my friend, the speaker today, Britt Hall. Britt has been with Unity of New York since the very beginning as Minister of Music and later Spiritual Leader, and now as Senior Minister. So please enjoy the wit and wisdom of Reverend Britt Hall. Take it away.
The wit and wisdom. Thank you, Steve Alk. I am so grateful for you. I'm so grateful to our board of trustees. I'm so grateful for your friendship. I'm so grateful to Spiritus for that nostalgic moment from Symphony Space and our Unity Band of Ray, Clyde, Brian, Ayodele. And I'm so grateful that we are here together today. William Butler Yeats said, "There are no strangers here, only friends you haven't yet met." And I think that's so appropriate for Unity of New York. Now I need to come clean about something. I need to confess something to you this morning. Get it off my chest. I am a logophile. It's true. I'm a logophile. Does anyone know what that is? Maybe. Maybe not. I love words. I'm a word nerd. Some people in Unity circles know me as the word sheriff. So being a logophile, I decided to look up the definition of friend on Friendship Sunday. Friend is a noun. For those of you that know a little bit about grammar, a friend is a person attached to another by feelings of affection or personal regard. A person is someone who gives assistance, a patron, a supporter. A person who was on good terms with another, who was not hostile. Marlene Dietrich said, "It's the friends you can call up at 4 a.m. that matter." And Albert Hubbard said, "A friend is one who knows you and loves you just the same." A friend is someone who gives you the freedom to be yourself. One of the nicest things you can have as a friend. Friend is the best thing you can be. And I love this. The good friends are like stars. You don't always see them, but you know they're always there. You know they're there. And this is especially what we have experienced in these months of being apart. We're not always seeing our friends. But I'm here to remind you that they are there, that we are there, that we are here, because there is here. And I think that this can probably be expressed on a deeper level in song. So one of our musical surprises today is bringing in someone very special from Connecticut, our very own Adrian Buckley.
You're the soul who understands the stars that made me who I am. Through the drifting sand of time, I got your back and you got mine. If you bear a heavy load, I'll be your wheels, I'll be your road. See us through again, fear. For love and loss until the end. Cause you carry the feelings from the highest of the peaks to the darkness of the moon. I was just too blind to see. Like a lighthouse in a storm, you were always guiding me. Yeah, it's true. You carry me with you. From the day it all began, yeah, you were there. You took my hand. And when I heard a bit too deep, you watched me as I fell asleep. And when my head was in the cloud, you found a way to pull me out. You picked my heart up off the ground and showed me love was all around. Yeah, you carried me with you from the highest of the peaks to the darkness of the blue. I was just too blind. Like a lighthouse in a storm, you were always guiding me. Yeah, it's true. You carry me. Oh, we'll be sitting on the world together, watching every day turn into night. see us through. If it can't be for love and loss until the end, 'cause you carried me with you from the highest of peace to the darkness of the blue. I was just too blind to see, like a lighthouse in a storm, for always guiding me. It's true, you carried me with you. Oh,
thank you, Adrian. That was beautiful. It's always good to see you. I love the production outside and baby Ronan. Gosh, she's over 4 months old now. And Friendship Sunday is the other day in the newsletter, I wrote about it, that it's there's a few reasons for Friendship Sunday. It's a time of year when, first and foremost, we get to acknowledge each other and our community. And there are many in our community that we don't yet know. Again, I love the William Butler Yeats quote that there are no strangers here, only friends you haven't yet met. He said that in the 1800s. So it's one of those timeless adages. And it's a time to honor each other. And now we're honoring each other virtually. And I love that we can clearly do this. I'm loving that I can actually, I'm closer today and can see the a lot of the comments. And it also is a time of creating a special opportunity to invite others in to your spiritual home. People, not to recruit anybody, but to share what's so important to you, because we often hear scripture that do not hide your light under a bushel. And for many years, I heard over and over exhaustively in unity circles, we're the best kept secret. Well, I think that's loosened up, but we can really let that go some more, because people need what we have to share. And if you have brought somebody in today, if somebody has joined you, somebody in your life, whether a relative, a close friend, a colleague, an acquaintance, anyone, this could be exactly what they've been seeking, to change their life. We've all got our unity story of how we got here. And another thing about Friendship Sunday, usually, as it's a time to remember what unity is all about. It's always a good thing to kind of go back to basics. And I'm not going to delve too deeply into that today. I'm not going to delve too deeply into the story of how it all began with co-founder Myrtle Fillmore receiving a health diagnosis of tuberculosis, and she prayed it away. And but what I'd like to share that happened before that in her story, in her upbringing, is she always loved books. Myrtle was kind of like Yentl. She was getting the books that the girls should not be reading when she was a child, and she was going into corners and reading them, wanting this knowledge. She had a craving for knowledge, for information. And she was raised as a staunch Methodist, but as a child, she just didn't agree with the God that she was being told about, that her mother and her relatives believed in, with the God-fearing people, that God is a punishing God, a rewarding God. That didn't work for her. So much like Yentl, speaking of Barbara Streisand, she really craved education, information. And so she became a teacher. And she became a teacher at a very young age. There were students in her class that were older than she was as a teacher. And at that point in the 1800s, there were a lot of people who had issue, a lot of parents who took issue with their boys being taught by a girl. But somehow they got through it because Myrtle was an amazing teacher. And what I marvel about, just to put this in perspective, so many people seem to still think that Unity is a new thing, a newer thing, that it hasn't been around that long. We're talking 1800s, and we're talking that when Myrtle was a teacher back in those little schoolhouses where she was recruited to come and teach, this was after the Civil War. She was teaching kids of men who fought in the Civil War. But she was always sickly, and that's what led her. And then she met Charles Fillmore, who was also sickly. And that's how we moved forward into Unity. And you can read all about that at unity.org. It's a beautiful website full of information. And I encourage you to check things out at unity.org. You can get a lot of great information on the history and the story and what Unity believes. But I do want to bring up, again, Leo, kind of on the spot, on the fly, I had emailed you a graphic to see that eventually all the teachings of Unity were narrowed down into what became known as the five principles. And this wasn't that long ago. It was the early 1990s when this happened. But I would like to share Unity in a nutshell as a reminder for those of you who know this, and maybe as an awareness of you who, for whom this information is brand new. Do you have that graphic, Leo? The five principles. God is all there is and everywhere present. This is the force of love and wisdom that underlies all of existence. The second principle, human beings are divine at their core and therefore inherently good. Our third principle, thoughts have creative power to determine events and attract experiences. The fourth principle is that prayer and meditation keep us aligned with the one great power in the universe. And the fifth principle, it's not good enough to understand spiritual teachings. We must live the truth we know. Thank you, Leo. Now, there's a version of these. You'll see variations on these in different unities. And there's one that I really like that was created for the youth of Unity, for the children. And it goes like this. First principle, God is good and everywhere present all the time. Ain't no place God is not. I added that. That's not in there. But that's the premise. Ain't no place God is not. The second principle, I am naturally good because God's divinity is in me, is in you, and in everyone. Hear that, everyone. Take that in. Breathe. Get some lavender. Breathe. Third principle, I create my experiences by what I choose to think and what I feel and believe. And remember, we are always at choice. We are always at choice. That is part of our divine inheritance. And four, through affirmative prayer and meditation, I connect with God and bring out the good in my life. Affirmative prayer is what Unity is based on, how it started out. This does not mean begging and beseeching to a God out there. God is not a man, no matter how God is depicted in paintings in museums and in pictures and in a lot of teachings. God is all there is. Go back to the first principle. And the fifth principle, I do and give my best by living the truth I know, the truth of my understanding. And they end this, in the youth version of this, they end this with the words, I make a difference. How beautiful is that? How often do we, on our human journeys, question if we are making a difference. That's my favorite part of this. But again, that fifth principle, I do and give my best by living the truth I know. These are not just premises to memorize. We live these teachings. They're practical, which means they can be practiced. They must be practiced. These are the spiritual tools that help us in life to navigate, to center ourselves, to walk through the challenges. Now, look, I realize we are not friends with everybody, okay? And we're not going to be. I love Psalm 133:1 that says how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. How cool is that? It's like it was written for unity. So unity can share this with the entire world, bring this awareness. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Now, I want to share our mission and vision statements of Unity of New York. They're really important, and I want us to keep going a little deeper with these. The mission of Unity of New York, I wrote about it on Friday, reminded us in the newsletter, is to provide a spiritual home where community may gather and know that all good comes from God within. And the vision of Unity of New York is to provide, is for a world, our vision is for a world consciously unified in love that leaves no one out and invites everyone in. Breathe. The vision of Unity of New York is for a world consciously, intentionally unified in love that leaves no one out and invites everybody in. So let's look at that. Who comes to mind that you would welcome into your nest? Today's talk is called Birds of a Feather. Who can you think of that you would welcome in your nest, befriend this week, even though you may not like them? We're human. We are not here to like everybody. That's not what love is. We'll talk about that in a minute. But we've heard before, we are only as close to God as the farthest one we hold from our heart. Breathe. Where are you willing to have a healing in your life? With anyone in relationship in your life? Remember, we are all God's children. Can't say that enough. We are all God's children. The news would have us think different about that. We are all God's children, regardless of behavior. Everybody's your relative. Do any of you have a sibling who was, maybe still is, like a hellion? As a person, in their human behavior. By the way, hellion, it's a Southern word, but you know what it is. You can put that together. Who in your life have you been resisting? I want you right now to bring somebody to mind that you just can't stand. Don't think too hard. And if you seriously can't think of someone because you're just feeling good right now, we're Sunday morning, we're all together, if you can't think of anybody, turn on the news, okay? Someone will come to mind. I just know you can come up with someone, somebody you can't stand. They're like bamboo shoots under your fingernails. Now, I want to ask you this. If we were physically together right now, say at Symphony Space, and this person that has come to mind that you cannot stand, walks into Symphony Space on a Sunday morning, do you welcome them? Are you willing to welcome them? All God's children, again, a world consciously unified in love that leaves no one out and invites everyone in. It can't be both true and untrue. Are you willing to hold a space to go with the rest of that statement, the birds of a feather flock together, leaves no one out, invites everyone in? Here's another way that I want to present to look at this. Let's say it's not a Sunday that we're envisioning when we're all together, okay? Because we know when we get together, we're lifted up, we're comforted, where there's strength, there's love, there's that feeling of goodness. So say that right now, during what's going on, or any time, let's say that we're in the middle of winter and there's a horrific snowstorm, just a nor'easter that things are shut down, and let's say that this person that you have envisioned has no place to go. They can't get transportation, or their car is broken down outside your door, and they come knocking on your door. Would you invite them in? It's very biblical, but would you invite them in from the cold? I have a feeling you would. I have a feeling that if there was a politician, I have a feeling the goodness within you would come forth and you would channel Jesus, okay? Now look, I'm not talking in these situations about becoming new best friends with somebody or voting for them, but opening your home, your heart to forgiveness. Our teacher and way shower, Jesus, said in the Sermon on the Mount, in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we have forgiven those who trespass against us. Another translation, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Forgive us our faults as we forgive those offending us. And what's that saying about resentment? It's like slowly taking poison, hoping the other person will die. It's not doing any of us any good to hold on to anger and hatred and animosity. Healing happens when we're willing to go through the forgiveness. Is there a time in your life that you can think of when forgiveness shifted everything? It was more important, it became more important than being wronged or needing to be right. How often in your life down the line have you forgotten someone that you had a real falling out with, that you forgot what the fight was even about, yet you're still carrying them around like an anchor? Why wait till someone is on their deathbed to make amends? You know, 2 weeks ago, Reverend Cynthia Alice reminded us that we are here to rise up. We are here to live our fifth principle, taking action. Not in anger and animosity, and hate, but in love, to rise up in love in all we do, to shine our lights. Metaphysically, love is the pure essence of being that binds together the entire human family. In divine mind, love is the power that joins us in divine harmony. And the universe, everything in the entire universe, it's the great harmonizing principle that we all possess. And remember, divine love is impersonal. It loves for the sake of loving. It's not concerned with who or what it loves, nor with a return of love. It's like the sun. Its joy is just shining forth. That's its nature, to just shine forth. 1 Corinthians 13 says, love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. It's an inner quality that sees good everywhere and in everybody, in spite of their behavior. It insists that all is good in spite of appearances. And by refusing to see anything but good, it causes that quality finally to appear uppermost in all things. That is when we refuse to see anything but good. Love is the great harmonizer and healer. Human love is about personality. Divine love is the great harmonizer. You can fight for your rights with love. Fight with love. Come from love. Divine love will bring you to your own, adjust all misunderstandings, and make your life and your affairs healthy and harmonious and free. Love. Love is all there is. Love will keep us together. I love the message of love in this final song that I would like for Adrian to share. It's not the final song of the day. We have a really great surprise later. But I think that this beautiful song that Adrian has put together expresses what love is. Adrian?
He don't have a job, won't pay your bills, won't buy you a home in Beverly Hills. Won't fix your life, five easy steps. Ain't the law of the land or the government. But it's all you. So the whole world will know that we're not alone. And it's waiting for you, knocking at your door. Every moment of truth, when your heart hits the floor, and you're on your
It's
gonna be alright. May love will hold us together, make us a shelter to weather the storm. And I'll be my brother's keeper, so the whole world will know that we're not alone.
That was so beautiful. Thank you, Adrian. I love seeing your family. I love what you have manifested. You set out your clear intention and you're living it. And you're so talented and you're so blessed, and thank you for blessing us. Leo, we didn't spend a whole lot of time on any comments. I'm just gonna put it over to you to grab a comment or two to bring up for just a minute. Michelle Fungier. Oh, thanks. That's a good one. Why is everyone Trump bashing when we're supposed to be showing love? Well, I say OMG also. That's not what we are here to do. I haven't been reading all the comments. I have to look really closely. That is not what we're here to do. And if that's how anyone interpreted my saying, think of politics, what these unity principles are about navigating our lives, not separation, practical application, practicing them while you all aren't listening to Brit. Okay, hold on, Leo, hold on a second. I'm starting to feel like Lucy with the chocolates. I think it's important to acknowledge that we are not here to talk about politics. And again, if that interpretation of me saying politics, I'm going to give you a different example, okay? If you think you have no one to forgive, Paul used to say this, go back to high school, you'll come up with someone. I personally was thinking of a very dear friend, one of my closest friends years ago in the 90s, and she was going through a lot of stuff, and she kind of made me her divine punching bag, the container for all of her anger, and in an act of self-love, I said, I'm going to have to love you from afar. And she was angry with me for many years. And I'm going to say 18 years later, I was at a retreat at Omega Institute. And I was looking for a seat down front for the evening session. And I heard someone say, Brit Hall. And I looked. And there was my friend Anne, who had not spoken to me in 18 years. And it hurt my heart so much what happened with that relationship. And we picked right up. Time had passed. She didn't really even remember what it was about. I did, but it was a beautiful healing. There was a beautiful forgiveness that happened. So I'm saying whoever comes to mind, and I invite you to do this on a daily basis, it is so freeing. It is so growth-inducing. It undoes the shackles. We're here to love. Adrian just saying, love will hold us together, make us a shelter, weather the storm, and I'll be my brother's keeper. So the whole world will know that we're not alone. And with that, I say thank you. Hallelujah. I'm glad you're here. And so it is.